Title: Separating Sample Prep from Creative Flow Intermediate. Alright, today we're doing something that sounds simple, but it's one of the biggest level ups you can make in drum and bass. Separating sample prep from creative flow. Because in D&B, the good ideas show up fast. You get a groove, a bass rhythm, a little break layer, and suddenly you've got motion. But the admin stuff, trimming samples, cleaning tails, warping breaks, gain staging, naming, saving racks, that stuff is slower. And if you mix those two modes in the same moment, you basically interrupt your own momentum every few minutes. So the whole lesson is a two-lane workflow in Ableton Live. Prep mode is where you build assets. Flow mode is where you write music using only those assets. By the end of this, you'll have two projects, two templates, and a personal setup where writing a rolling D&B idea feels like loading kit plus break plus bass vibe and you're off. Let's build it. First, the two-project system. Project 1 is your prep project. Name it something obvious like D&B sample prep. This project is not for writing patterns. It's not for arranging a track. It's basically your workshop. You import sample packs, you crop, you fade, you warp properly, you build drum racks and effect racks, and you resample variations that are ready to use. Project 2 is your write template. Call it D&B write template. This is where you compose, arrange, automate, and make decisions. And here's the rule. In write mode, you only use prepped racks and prepped folders. No digging through messy downloads folders. No, let me just warp this break real quick. That's the whole point. And I want to add a coach note here. To make this separation actually work, you need a gate between the modes. A little bit of intentional friction. In prep mode, the session ends with exports only. You save racks, you print loops, you curate folders. No, one more thing. You stop the session by committing. In write mode, you start with a palette. One core kit, one break minipack, one bass rack, maybe one FX folder. If it's not in the palette, it doesn't exist today. That constraint is what keeps your brain composing instead of organizing. A really practical trick. At bar 1 in your write template, make a locator called today's palette. Write exactly what you're allowed to use. It sounds almost too simple, but it stops that slow leak where prep habits creep into your writing session. Cool. Now let's build the first tool in the prep project, a quick audition track. Create one audio track. Name it Audition, all caps. The job of this track is, anything you drag onto it instantly sounds usable, safe, and comparable. We're not making it loud, we're making it consistent. Put a utility first. Set the gain to -12 dB. That gives you headroom by default, and it stops the classic mistake of auditioning everything too hot and then building a kit that's accidentally clipping later. Also, keep the mono button there. You'll use it constantly. D&B is a club and system genre. Mono checks catch problems early. Then add EQ 8, high pass at around 30 Hz. You're just removing unusable sub rumble and DC this nonsense. Optional teacher tip. You can also put a gentle dip around 250 to 400 if you want a quick mud check, but don't over EQ while auditioning. This is about evaluation, not fixing. Then add a limiter at the end. Ceiling at -0.3 dB. This is a safety net, not a loudness tool. If you see the limiter slamming constantly, that's information. The sample is too hot, or your gain staging is off. Now your workflow is, drag any sample onto the audition track and judge it fast. Transience, low-end weight, harshness, noise tails, weird clicks. And here's a key rule, if it's worth using, prep it now, not later. If it's not worth using, don't maybe it into your life. D&B rewards consistency. Next, prepping one-shots the D&B way. Kick, snare, hats, perk discipline. Load a one-shot into simpler one-shot mode. For most drum one-shots, turn warp off. Warp is for timing and tempo behavior. One-shots usually don't need it unless it's a tonal stab you specifically want luck to tempo. Adjust the start and end so the transient starts clean. If there's silence before the hit, remove it. If there's a messy tail, decide if you want it. And always add a tiny fade out if there's any chance of a click. In Ableton, you can do this with clip fade handles in the audio clip view, or with a very short release in an envelope if you're using simpler. The point is, eliminate tiny technical problems now so they don't interrupt you later. Now gain staging. This is one of those unsexy habits that makes everything downstream work better. Set the sample so it peaks around -6 to -3 dB. You can do it with simpler's gain or the clip gain. The exact number is less important than consistency. When your kit has consistent peaks, your saturator behaves predictably, your compressors respond similarly, and your mix decisions are faster. Now put the one shots into a drum rack. Create a drum rack and name it DNB Rack Core Kit V1. Give it a sensible layout so your muscle memory locks in. For example, C1 kick, D1 main snare, D sharp 1 alt snare or rim, F sharp 1 closed hat, A sharp 1 open hat, then perks across G1 to B1. Like toms, clicks, rides, little effects on each pad chain. Keep it simple and repeatable. Start with EQ8 for quick cleanup, then a saturator for subtle density. Drive 1 to 3 dB, soft clip on. That soft clip is a classic DNB glue move because it controls peaks and adds a bit of urgency without you thinking too hard. Optional. Drum bus lightly. Drive maybe 5 to 15%, crunch very low, and generally keep boom off for kick pads unless you truly need it. If you crank boom thoughtlessly, you can wreck your sub relationship fast. Now, drum rack returns. This is a big DNB production shortcut. Instead of putting a reverb on random pads later, set up returns inside the rack so everything shares a vibe. Return A, short room, a reverb with decay around 0.4 to 0.8 seconds, minimal pre-delay, and high pass around 250 to 400 Hz. That keeps the room from turning into low mid fog. Return B, hat air, keep it subtle. A very light redux into an EQ shelf up top can give hats that techie edge, but if you overdo it, you'll get harshness fast. Think a touch of air and grit, not crispy pain. Now save the rack. Right click, save preset, and store it somewhere consistent. User library, presets, instruments, drum rack, DNB. Saving is part of the workflow. If you make it and don't save it, you've basically chosen to rebuild it forever. Okay, next, breaks. This is where a lot of people destroy their own writing sessions. They start with a great idea, then they go, wait, let me just warp this break, and 40 minutes later they're deep in warp markers and the track is still 8 bars long. We're not doing that. In the prep project, drag a break loop onto an audio track. Turn warp on. For most DNB break work, start with beats mode. Preserve transients. Envelope somewhere around 20 to 40%. Then set the downbeat correctly. This matters. If 1.1.1 is wrong, everything you build will feel slightly off, and you'll waste time trying to fix groove with swing and microshifts. Right-click and set 1.1.1 here on the actual downbeat. Confirm the loop length. Is it 1 bar? 2 bars? Make sure it actually loops cleanly. Now the biggest move. Make 3 versions. Version 1. Clean and tight. Beats mode. Tighter envelope. Controlled. Punchy. Predictable. Version 2. Looser or crunchier. Try texture mode with a tiny grain size, or keep beats and add subtle saturation. This is where you get character without destroying timing. Version 3. Halftime feel. You can keep the loop length the same, but emphasize transients differently, or EQ and saturate in a way that makes the snare and hats speak differently. The goal is, one break source, multiple usable moods. Now, slice it. Right-click the clip and choose slice to new MIDI track. Slicing by transients. Ableton will build a drum rack of slices. This is your editready break instrument. You can reprogram it quickly without going back to warp markers. Optional but powerful. Build a macro layer on your break rack. Group the rack into an instrument rack and map a few macros that you'll actually automate in write mode. For example, tone macro that tilts EQ, crunch macro that drives saturation, air macro that boosts a high shelf, room macro that sends to a short reverb. These become arrangement knobs. You're not editing the break, you're performing it. Now resample ready loops. This is the part that makes flow mode fast. Record 8 to 16 bars of your break variations. Pick the best 1 to 2 bar sections, consolidate them, and save them as audio loops in a folder like DNB prepped. Break loops. The magic here is that you're building your own curated break pack. When you write, you browse your own best stuff, not a chaotic ocean of samples. Quick naming coach note. Naming is not boring if you do it for search. Use a pattern like DNB RK Break Amen Crunch 174 V1 or DNB RK Snare Tight 170 V2. Include what you'll filter by type, character, tempo range. Only include key for tonal content. Most drums don't need a key tag, but some snares and toms basically ring like notes. Also, on the audition track, consider adding a tuner or spectrum as a tonality check. Some drums flirt with pitch. If the ring is wrong, don't fix it in write mode. Tag it in prep as needs to ring or pitch down once and so you can handle it later. Now let's build the write template. Zero friction. Open your DNB write template. Set tempo to 172 to 175. That's home base. You can adjust later, but pick a default so your brain has a consistent reference point. Create groups, a drums group, kick, snare, hats as MIDI tracks that point to your prepped kit, plus a break track, either audio loops or the break rack MIDI. Put a drum bus track or processing on the group if you like, but keep it predictable. A bass group, a subtrack, maybe a operator sign, a recent wave eatable, a mid-bass, and then a bass print audio track for resampling. Arm that print track often. Printing bass keeps you in flow mode, because you stop endlessly tweaking synth parameters and you start making musical edits. A music and effects group, tabs or pads, atmos, risers and impacts. Returns, short room, long space, DNB delay and a parallel crunch return. For the crunch return, think saturator with soft clip, fast compressor, and an EQ to tame harsh 3-6K if it bites. Blend lightly, often a send level around -18 to -10 dB is plenty. Now, one more advanced coach thing that helps your perspective. Add a reference track. Keep it muted. Route it to the master. Put a utility on it so you can level match quickly, like -10 to -14 dB. The point isn't mastering. It's having a consistent loudness perspective, so you don't prep louder one day and write quieter the next. Save this set as your default template in Ableton Preferences. Now the rules for flow mode. This is where you have to be a little strict with yourself. When writing, no trimming, no warping, no sample hunting in random folders. Only use your saved racks, your prepped folders, and your resampled break variations. If you hit that moment where you think, this snare is almost right but it needs surgery, you do not stop the session. You drop a locator, make it red, and make it actionable, not fix snare. Instead, prep, snare tail too long, make tighter alt and save to core kit. That way, when you return to prep mode, you can clear those like a checklist. You're not leaving yourself vague homework, you're leaving yourself instructions. Now, arrangement. Here's a practical 64-bar sketch that works really well with this prep versus flow split. Intro, 16 bars, filtered break, atmosphere, tease a bass note, build, 16 bars, hats come in, ghost snare energy, tension FX, filter opens, drop, 32 bars, first 16 is main groove, second 16 is variation. This audio version is shortened for playback.